Navavatu Sahanau Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvi Navaditamastoma Vidivishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare
Krishna Hare Krishna
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Chapter 30, Features of Ecstatic Love for Krishna. The fun part is this, we're studying Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, but the chapter is according to Nectar Devotion.
Keep everyone on their toes, Maharaj.
Because some are going, what do you mean?
Really, it's chapter 4 of the second wave.
Yeah, because that's the thing. You can tell by the verse. Yeah. 2.4.132, page 83. Arriving at a conclusion based on error, doubt, or inference is called vitarka, conjecture. In this state, moving the brows and moving the head and fingers occur. Jiva Goswami. Vimarsha means to infer a cause. Thus, quote, there is fire on the mountain because I see smoke. Shamshaya or doubt means inability to come to a conclusion because of seeing contrary views. An example, is that a man or a pillar? Adi indicates a mistake. An example is thinking that a seashell is a piece of silver. The judgment for concluding the truth of the matter, uha, by these methods is called vitarka. Reaching a conclusion from vimarsha, or local analysis, depends on the validity of the logical proposition. After seeing smoke, one must use the proposition, where there is smoke, there is fire, as in the kitchen. Thus, one concludes that there must be fire. The conclusion after doubt can only be made by reasoning as well. After making a wrong conclusion, correct reasoning also is sometimes seen. 2.4.133. Vitarka arising from inference from the Vidagdhamadava. O elephant who sports in the houses of Vrindavan, the peacock feather has fallen from your head on the ground, but you are unaware of that. There is a prepared garland lying in front of you, but you do not put it on. From that I can infer that the powers of the bees in the form of Radha's eyes have agitated you. Srila Prabhupada. Argumentativeness. Madhu Mangal was an intimate friend of Krishna, coming from the Brahmana community. Krishna's friends were mostly cowherd boys belonging to the Vaishya community, but there were others who belonged to the Brahma community. Actually, in Vrindavan, the Vaishya community and the Brahma community are considered prominent. This Madhu Mangal one day addressed Krishna in this fashion. My dear friend, I can see that you are not aware of the peacock feathers that are falling on the ground. At the same time, you are unmindful of the flower garlands which are offered to you. I think I can guess the reason for your absent-mindedness. When I see your two eyes flying over to the eyes of Srimati Radharani, just like black drones flying to lotus flowers. This is an instance of an argumentative suggestion in ecstatic love. Jiva Goswami. In this verse, the logical law is understood from previous experiences. The statement is made in order to break down Krishna's mood of concealment, avidhita, and is not a true conclusion. However, it is classed as vitarka because a conclusion is drawn from inferences. The last line of the next verse is also similar. The conclusion that Radha is the cause is drawn from the strength of the symptoms under discussion. Right, so you're using the logic and all that. And from that, you're coming to some kind of conclusion. Whether it's correct or not, that's another thing. But it gives a particular flavor. It gives a particular mood. And because of that, then these things are... Yeah. Hmm. It went to the side.
Oh, yeah.
You don't like that? No, just that one.
Yeah, just a mistake.
How you say? Manifesting some Vyavachari Bhava, right? Because it's the opposite of its natural sty, so it's gone over to the side.
It's a doubt.
You did that on purpose.
It's from arising from doubt.
It's rising from doubt. Okay, so it's showing the... it's thinking, actually, I should be over here. Right?
When you have a doubt, your head goes to this side.
Yes. So here it's gone. Yes. Vitarka arising from doubt. Oh, I see. Yeah, so it's natural. Okay. Is that a tamal tree? It cannot be, for why would it be endowed with such pure, clear movements? Is it a cloud? No, it cannot be, for a spotless moon is residing there. O moon-faced one, it seems that Mukunda, who can enchant the universe with the sound of his flute, is certainly wandering on the top of Govardhan Mountain. Srila Prabhupada. Once while Krishna was out walking, one of the associates of Radharani told her, "My dear friend, do you think that this walking personality is a tamal tree? If he is a tamal tree, then how is it possible for him to walk and be so beautiful? Then this personality might be a cloud, but if he is a cloud, then where is the beautiful moon within? Under the circumstances, I think it may be granted that this person is the same enchanting personality of Godhead, by whose flute vibration the three worlds are captivated. He must be the same Mukunda who is standing before Govardhan Hill." This is another instance of an argumentative presentation of ecstatic love. Right, so this is the use of, you know, Anuman, you know, in the argumentative. Yeah. Jiva Goswami, first there is a doubt. Is it a tamal tree, a cloud, or a Mukunda? There appears to be a swaying movement, like a tree. However, with the mention of the pure, definite movement, Amala Shri, the conclusion is clear. It cannot be a tree. Then, next, a cloud is proposed, but that is eclipsed by a moon. So maybe it is spotted. So maybe it is spotted moon, I guess. But it is neither a cloud nor the moon, because the form has no spots. Right? So it's eclipsed by a moon. But then the moon would have spots. But this moon doesn't have spots. Right. Yeah. Yes.
Is there some element also that ordinarily the cloud eclipses the moon? Here the moon
eclipsing the cloud, yeah. But in here it's just the rasa, so it doesn't matter. It's the prominence of the various elements and how they relate to each other. But that's the importance of the kavya aspect. Yes, is to appreciate what's going on because it's an expression of a mood. So, but that expression of the mood being done in this argumentative aspect, because using logics and, you know, is it this, is it that? Or, you know, it doesn't have to have the attitude. It just means that one is using logic, and that is bringing out an ecstatic symptom. That's the whole point. So, 2.4.135. Oh. Yeah, because it wasn't in the middle. We just talked about it, right? In the 134. Some say that Tarka means to draw conclusions about objects capable of being judged. 2.4.136. Pondering, arising from not attaining a desired object, or from attaining an undesirable object, is called chinta. In this state, heavy breathing, hanging the head, writing on the ground, change of color, sleeplessness, prattle, and fever occur. 2.4.137. Pondering, arising from not attaining the desired object of love, from 10th canto. So pondering is different. You see, pondering is different from this, what was it called? Vitarka. Because that, then, is, you know, is this, is that, is some kind of, it has that aspect of arguing over it, while the others, you're just contemplating it. you know, you may be working kind of in the same field, but it has a different flavor. Their heads hanging down, and their heavy, sorrowful breathing drying up their reddened lips, the gopis scratched the ground with their toes. Tears flowed from their eyes, carrying their cudgel and washing away the vermilion smeared on their breasts. Thus they stood, silently bearing the burden of their unhappiness. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:29-29. Srila Prabhupada, anxiety. In the 10th canto, 29th chapter, verse 29 of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna asked all the gopis to go back to their homes, they did not like it. Because of their grief at this, they were sighing heavily, and their beautiful faces appeared to be drying up. In this condition they remained, without making a sound. They began to draw lines on the ground with their toes, and their tears washed the black ointment from their eyes onto their breasts, which were covered with red kumkuma powder. This is an instance of anxiety in ecstatic love. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. This verse shows the anubhavas resulting from chinta. Lajja is also applied. That would be shyness. By this invitation to love, we gave up our natural shyness, and now shyness has returned. Being well-bred young women, we have heaps of shyness, but because of that love, we have given up shyness. That type of love is praiseworthy in the opinion of those knowledgeable of rasa, and is never criticized. The characteristic of this love is that it brings the Supreme Lord under control. If the object of our love, Krishna, has not come under control, it must be that we do not really have love for him. What was the use of our giving up our shyness? Such thoughts show remorse. Shyness and chinta, pondering. Right, so you're having this blend, but the effect that it's giving is the pondering. Like that. The shyness may come in and out of that. So even within the vyabhichari, you can have one vyabhichari taking a prominence and others then coming up and going down within that, even though all that comes up and goes down within the Sthayi Bhava. Does that make sense? Yeah. Their faces show that remorse. Out of lamentation, their lips, red like bimba fruits, became dried up by hot breathing. When the heat of the sun dries up ripe bimba fruits, they lose their fullness and become full of blemishes. The shyness and pondering are next described. They rode on the earth with the big toes of their left feet. By this they indicated that they desired to enter the earth as it parted. Lamentation and pain are next described next. The tears mixed with cudgel smeared the kumkuma on their breasts. It appears that the black line creating was dividing them in half, with a saw of great remorse due to the increased period of separation. Tears in the plural indicate that great volumes of tears flowed. By not mentioning that the tears dampened their clothing, it is suggested that two Yamuna rivers flowing from their eyes and the fire of pain arising from their hearts began to conflict. One desired to moisten everything and one desired to dry up everything. One being victorious and one being defeated. With the weight of extreme sorrow, they stood silently, not tolerating the burden of lost consciousness. Thus they simply stood there. They stood straight up like statues without consciousness, right? So then they had that, the previous one, like the stunned and those kind of things like that. Because it mentions they're always conscious of Krishna. They just are not conscious of the external. Because if they're not as conscious of Krishna, then what's going to maintain the ecstatic symptoms? Right? So that they never, when it says they're never not conscious of Krishna, that's literal. So even if externally they lose that consciousness of things around them, it doesn't mean that they ever lose consciousness of Krishna. That makes sense? So even when they sleep, they're conscious of Krishna, though they may not be conscious of their surroundings. 2.4.138, another example. O killer of Aga, your affectionate mother, depressed and thin from thinking of you, remained sitting on the veranda from a long time, and having waited until evening, she now wanders about within the house. How astonishing it is. Though you experience such fun there, you have completely forgotten about your home. Srila Prabhupada. One of the friends of Krishna once informed him, "My dear killer of the demon Mura, Your kind and gentle mother is very anxious because you have not returned home, and with great difficulty she has passed the evening constantly sitting on the balcony of your home. It is certainly astonishing how you could forget your mother while you are off somewhere engaged in your playful activities. This is another instance of deep anxiety and ecstatic love. Jiva Goswami, Adosha Dihi means pure-minded. Because she is pure-minded, Jashoda has natural affection for Krishna. 24139. Chinta arising from attaining something undesirable. Do not remain sleepless, absorbed in intense deliberation, with hot tears withering your lotus face. I will go to Mathura with Akrura and bring back your son very soon. When Mother Jashoda, and who is this? Is this Prabhupada? Yes, ma'am. Yeah? So if she mentioned to him, he needs to put a Prabhupada there. When Mother Jashoda was very anxiously waiting for Krishna to return from Mathura, Maharaj Nanda gave her this solace. My dear Jashoda, please don't be worried. Please dry your beautiful lotus-like face. There is no need for you to breathe so hotly. I will go immediately with Akrura to the palace of Kamsa and get your son back for you. Here is an instance of anxiety and ecstatic love caused by Krishna's awkward position. Ascertaining a meaning after consulting scripture is called mati. Footnote 16. Conclusions are drawn in Vitarka as well, but not through reference to scripture. Right? Because that's inference. So when now you're drawing conclusions, right? In one, you're just thinking about things. The other is you're coming to a conclusion through anuman. And then in this one, you're coming to a conclusion through scripture. Right? So you get three different kinds of thinking. 24141. In this state, performing unnecessary actions, after cutting doubts and illusions, giving instructions to students, and defeating other arguments and opposing opposite conclusions occur. 24142. From the Padma Purana, Vaishaka Mahatmya. Let the Puranas and other scriptures glorify here and there, for a kalpa, the greatness of their respective devatas, in order to produce illusion in the people of this world. But after taking account of all varieties of interpretation, the conclusion is that Vishnu alone is the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada. Thoughtfulness. In the Vaishaka Mahatmya section of the Padma Purana, the devotee states that though in some of the 18 Puranas the process of glorifying Lord Vishnu is not mentioned, and the glorifying of some demigod is offered, such glorification must be continued for millions of years. For when one studies the Puranas very scrutinizingly, he can see that ultimately Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is an instance of ecstatic love developed out of thoughtfulness. Jiva Goswami. Let the Puranas and Agamas speak here and there to persons incapable of concluding the essence of all the Puranas and Agamas. And let them glorify the devas as the best for a kalpa. However, their conclusion is actually otherwise. When the meanings of the various statements, vyapareshu, which may be conventional, literal, are brought together for judging as a whole, vive chana vyati karam, the conclusion is that Vishnu alone is Bhagavan. Charaisya. Of moving entities refers to humans in this context because they are qualified for understanding the scriptures. 24143. From the 10th canto. Knowing that great sages who have renounced all attachments proclaim your glories, that you are the supreme soul of all the worlds, and that you are so gracious that you give away even your own self, I choose you as my husband, rejecting Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the rulers of heaven, whose aspirations are all frustrated by the force of time, which is born from your eyebrows. What interest then could I have in any other suitors? Srimad Bhagavatam 10:60-39. Srila Prabhupada, in the 10th canto, 60th chapter, verse 39 of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is an account of Rukmini Devi's writing a letter to Krishna, requesting him to kidnap her before her marriage to another person. At that time, the specific attachment of Rukmini for Krishna was expressed by Rukmini as follows. Quote, "My dear Lord Krishna, your transcendental glories are chanted by great sages who are free from material contamination. And in exchange for such glorification, you are so kind that you freely distribute yourself to such devotees. As one can elevate oneself simply by your grace, so also by your direction alone, one may be lost to all benedictions, under the influence of eternal time. Therefore, I have selected your lordship as my husband. Brushing aside personalities like Brahma and Indra, not to mention others, Rukmini enhanced her love for Krishna simply by thinking of him. This is an instance of thoughtfulness in ecstatic love." Jiva Goswami. Rukmini speaks this verse, exploring her own nature of, quote, churning of the milk ocean to produce nectar. Nyasta danda, renouncing the staff, means devoid of all material possessions and desires. Rukmini raises the example of detached sages in order to show what she has concluded has also been concluded by great authorities previously. The dangers of association and desire are illustrated in verses such as Sangat Samjayate Kama Kamat Krodo Vijayate, Bhagavad Gita 2:62. Because you're showing the scripture, you're showing the authority of it, the great sages, their authority, you know, to establish this particular flavor, this particular mood. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. This is a response of Rukmini to Krishna's statement in Srimad Bhagavatam 10:60-16. "You have said that you are praised only by beggars, but being praised by the beggar renunciates is most praiseworthy." What is explained in this verse by Rukmini, those who have become meek, renouncing the rod, are called bhikshu. Your powers are praised by the bhikshus. You are the soul of all beings, the most dear to all beings. Thus glorifying you is not useless. You say that glorifying you is useless. That statement alone is useless. You give yourself, Atmada, to those in the universe who worship you. Knowing this, I have accepted you as my husband. You have said that I chose you out of ignorance. However, that statement shows that you do not know my knowledge. I have accepted you, rejected Brahma and others whose benediction is destroyed by the force of time, which emanates from your eyebrow. What to speak of rejecting the most inferior kings? You have said I am short-sighted, but you have said this not knowing my foresight. Yeah, so then this must be that time when she's fanning the Krishna's bringing up all these arguments and they're discussing like that. Because in these things is that something like this has happened. It's a very nice thing, right? She's written the original letter. Krishna saw, he came, and all that. So naturally it'll come up again. You know, it's something to discuss. Like that. Because it just further, because it's such a nice thing, then further discussions or further contemplation on these nice things. Right? But in here, then Krishna also has that aspect of where he's joking. Like that, and then he keeps going with the joke until she faints. And then after that, then he'll speak like what she's speaking. Like that. 2.4.1.44. The steadiness of heart arising from attaining realization of the Lord, from absence of suffering in obtaining realization of the Lord, and from realizing prema with the Lord is called dhriti. In this state, there is no lamentation for things not attained or for things which have disappeared. Does that make sense? It means having realized the Lord, attained the Lord, to come to the platform of prema, then those things of this world that you are not obtaining or have lost by either by interest or actually just don't care or they've just disappeared. Naturally, you don't care. Because attaining the Lord, nothing else is comparable. that make sense? Yeah.
It seems very similar to this verse from Gita, na shakti tu
mokankshi. Yes, well, that's showing the other side. Because na sochati nakanshati, we'll look at it as, okay, in all situations, I shouldn't be lamenting or, you know, be overly elated or things like that. But here it's showing that why it's like that. Because they've attained the Lord. Or, you know, that's why they're not na sochati nakanshati. Okay. Does that make sense? So that's why when you see from the descending, it also includes the ascending. But the ascending, you know, though it has elements that are useful, it doesn't have the completeness of the descending. Okay. Srila Prabhupada. Endurance. When a person is fully satisfied due to attaining knowledge, transcending all distress, or achieving his desired goal of life in transcendental devotional service to God, his state of endurance or steady-mindedness is called dhriti. At this stage, one is not perturbed by any amount of loss, nor does anything appear to be unachieved by him. Right, so you're endurance. So you're undisturbed by anything that goes on. That's the. So then it's steady. Right, you know, is that, what is it? What do you use in here? Smiti vitarka, pondering, mati, steadiness, yeah. So one's dhriti, one's steady because of that. So that means, if you're steady, that means if you're applying steadiness, that's endurance. Does that make sense? Because we always have, Prabhupada's always taking it to the science aspect, the application. The acharyas, it's understood you're going to apply it, so they're mentioning the mechanics of it. Prabhupada will show its application. Okay. Jiva Goswami. Jnana means realization of the Lord. Dukkha Bhava means absence of suffering from realizing a relationship with the Lord. Uttamapti is attaining prema in relation to the Lord. The fullness due to this or the absence of fickleness in the mind is called dhriti. Right? So one's satisfiedness is complete, so it just continues. Right? There's nothing lacking, so there's no fickleness. 2.4.145. From attaining realization of the Lord, from Bhartrihari's Vairagya Shataka. Oh, is this that one from the mango?
He wrote first Sringari Shataka.
Which one was the mango story in it?
He's on.
Yes, but I'm just saying that's in the first one or this one? Or it doesn't matter. It's all post mango. Okay. When I attain knowledge related to the Lord, I will eat only begged food and live without clothing. I will sleep on the ground. What is the necessity of serving the king or other authorities? Now, this is truly off the grid. It's the ultimate off the grid. Right? You're not even the material, you know, the conscious is not even in the material world. Srila Prabhupada, according to the opinion of Bhartrihari, a learned scholar, when a person is elevated to the state of endurance, he thinks as follows. I do not wish to be highly posted government servant. I shall prefer to remain naked without proper garments. I shall prefer to lie down on the ground without any mattress. And in spite of all these disadvantages, I shall refuse to serve anyone, even the government. In other words, when one is in ecstatic love with the personality of Godhead, he can endure any kinds of disadvantages calculated under the material concept of life.
Impressive.
Yes. It does. So see, nothing's new. It's always been there. Like the python sadhu didn't even bother with a rock, right? Because no, you go hide under a rock. He was just right out on the path. 2.4.146. From lack of suffering, our cow sheds have become the playground of Lakshmi, and more than 100 billion cows are running around. A divine child is playing in the house. I am fully satisfied with the happiness of family life. Srila Prabhupada. Nanda Maharaj, the father of Krishna, used to think, in my pasturing ground, the goddess of fortune is personally present, and I possess more than 100,000 cows, which loiter here and there. And above all, I have a son like Krishna, who is such a powerful, wonderful worker. Therefore, even though I am a householder, I am feeling so satisfied. This is an instance of mental endurance resulting from the absence of all distress. Okay, so you see it again. It's either with knowledge that you know the Lord, or by that position you attain renunciation, or you just are absorbed in love for Krishna. It's just you're steady. You're not worried about anything. You're not affected. Wow. So Krishna, I always thought it was 900,000 was all he had. That's just what Krishna would take out. Because he has a billion cows. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what he says here is 100,000. Okay. 24147. From attaining prema, I am situated on the bank of the ocean, consisting of the Lord's pastime. Thus my mind is not aware of artha, dharma, kama, and moksha, which are now worthless like grass. Srila Prabhupada. In another instance, a devotee says, I am always swimming in the nectarian ocean of the pastimes of the personality of Godhead. And as such, I have no more attraction for religious rituals, economic development, sense gratification, or even the ultimate salvation emerging into the existence of Brahman. This is an instance of the mind's endurance due to achieving the best thing in the world. The best thing in the world is absorption in Krishna consciousness. Right? So, because generally one is inspired to perform ritualistic activities because of the benefit you'll get from them. Right? And so, but here, because of Krishna consciousness, he has no interest in the material benefits that he'll get from any of this. So that's the whole. 24148. Happiness of the heart arising from seeing or attaining one's desired object is called harsha. In this state, standing of the hair on end, perspiring, tears, glowing face, confusion, avega, insanity, unmada, indecision, jarata, and fainting, moha, occur. So in this one, I say, you have the symptoms of all these others. So because it's going to be you have individual ones, but you also have, when you combine certain ones, you get certain things. Like, you know, you take salty, sweet, and sour, combine it, you get chutney. You know, so it's its own unique thing, but it's just made of the same things as the others. Coming here. 24149. Joy on seeing one's desired object from Vishnu Purana. O sage, when Akura saw Krishna and Balaram, his lotus face blossomed with joy and all his hairs stood on end. Srila Prabhupada, happiness. It is described in the Vishnu Purana that when Akura came to take Krishna and Balaram to Mathura, just by seeing their faces, he became so cheerful that all over his body there were symptoms of ecstatic love. This state is called happiness. 24150. From attaining one's desired object from the 10th canto. Upon the shoulder of one gopi, Krishna rested his arm, whose natural blue lotus fragrance was mixed with that of the sandalwood pulp anointing it. As the gopi relished that fragrance, her bodily hair stood on end in jubilation, and she kissed his arm. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.33.11. Srila Prabhupada. It is stated in the 10th canto, 33rd chapter, verse 11 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Upon seeing that Krishna's arm was placed on her shoulder, one of the gopis engaged in the rasa dance became so ecstatically happy that she kissed Krishna on his cheek. This is an instance of field happiness because of achieving a desired goal. 24151. Inability to tolerate the passing of time. Inability to tolerate the passing of time arising from desire to see or attain a desired object is called autsukyam, impatience. In this state, there's drying of the mouth, haste, pondering, and prominence of breathing. 2.4.152. Impatience arising from a desire to see one's cherished object from the 10th canto. When the young women of the city heard that Lord Krishna, the reservoir of pleasure for human eyes, had arrived, they hurriedly went onto the royal road to see him. They abandoned their household duties and even left their husbands in bed, and in their eagerness the knots of their hair and garments came loose. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.71.34. Srila Prabhupada, eagerness. In the 10th canto, 71st chapter, verse 33 of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, when Krishna first came from his kingdom, Dwarka, to Indraprastha, the young females of the city became eager to see him, that even at night, or
yes. Yeah, even at night, comma, when they were lying down.
Yeah, but they became so eager to see him that even that night. Eager to see him. Probably you need a comma here.
That.
Yeah, okay. That even at night, when they were lying down with their husbands, they could not restrain their eagerness. Even though they were not properly dressed, and although their hair was loose and there were many household duties to perform, they still gave up everything and immediately went to the street to see Krishna. This is an instance of eagerness and ecstatic love, right? Because the impatience is there because there's an eagerness, right? You're impatient with the situation because of an eagerness for something to happen. You know, it's just like the kid is impatient with the drive because he wants to get there. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of which you're bringing. Yeah, 2.4.153 from Stavavali, Sri Radhikastaka. When Krishna revealed his whereabouts in the grove by the sound of his flute, Radha, coming quickly to the grove with smiling face, remained waiting with head hung down, eager to hear Krishna's words. When will that Radha engage me in her service? 2.4.154. Impatience arising from a desire to attain one's desired object. When the gopis tried to prolong the conversation with Krishna by expert joking, and thus delay him, Radha came to the grove quickly on the pretext of accepting a bunch of flowers. Srila Prabhupada, in his book Stavavali, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami has prayed for the mercy of Radharani, who was so captivated by the flute vibrations of Krishna that she immediately asked information of his whereabouts from residents of the Vrindavan forest. Upon first seeing Krishna, she was filled with such ecstatic love and pleasure that she began to scratch her ears. The damsels of Raja and Radharani were very expert in talking cunningly. As soon as they saw Krishna, they began their talkings, and Krishna, pretending to go for some flowers for them, immediately left that place and entered into a mountain cave. This is another instance of eager loving exchanges on the parts of both the gopis and Krishna. You know, it's just like when you scratch your ear, you put your head down. You don't keep your head out. So it's because one said it head down, and probably mentioned scratching the ear. So the ear done, you know, because it's something to do. You know, it's like you're looking at something. It's always that thing.
Nowadays, people pretend to be on their phone. They don't want someone to notice. Oh yeah, no. So similar, scratching the ear.
Yeah. Still with the ear. It's still got to be the ear. 2.4.155. Ferocity arriving. So these are all. So this is going more quickly, these ones.
Yeah, I'll react separately.
Chinta, Mati, we did that. Descendants, joy, harsher, impatience, ferocity. Okay. Because also, a lot of these, you see, is that these seem to be combinations of other ones. Many of these. You have all the individual and then all the details given, but then if you're combining those, you don't have to explain them again. You just explain the application. Because it'll say, it comes from this, but he doesn't explain it.
Yeah, separately like before.
Yeah. 2.4.155. Ferocity arising from offenses and harsh words is called augria. In that state, killing, binding, shaking the head, shouting loudly, and beating occur. Sounds like the neighbors. 2:4:156. Agriya, arising from offense to Krishna. Garuda speaks, by my power, the snakes have abortions, but in my presence, Kali is offending my master. I want to offer him to the fire in my stomach, but I am afraid of Krishna's anger. The fire in my stomach. Yes. Srila Prabhupada. Violence. When Krishna was fighting with Kali, the Kaliya snake by dancing on his heads, Kaliya bit Krishna on the leg. At that time, Garuda became infuriated and began to murmur. Krishna is so powerful that simply by his thundering voice, the wives of Kali have had miscarriages. Because my lord has been insulted by the snake, I wish to devour him immediately. But I cannot do so in the presence of my lord, because he may become angry with me. This is an instance of eagerness to act in an ecstatic love as a result of dishonor to Krishna. Right, so you see this combination. There's eagerness, like that, you know, the aspect of dishonor, because that was another one, how you felt. At the same time, it's, you know, it's being applied as in an aggressive manner, like that. 2:4:157. Agriya arising from harsh words against Krishna in a statement by Sahadev. Sahadev speaks, I will place with more force than the punishment of Yama my left foot on the head of that person who cannot tolerate the first worship of Krishna, who is full of all glories and worthy of worship by all devatas. Right? Because when it first came up, the people were, when it was announced that Krishna was going to be the one who was getting the first worship, then we see that there were some complaints. So then Sahadev got up and raised his left foot and pointed out, I'll put this foot on anybody's head here. And he didn't care who it was, you know.
Like the original, we'd kick up their face.
Yeah, so like that. So it says he was ready to, you know, if anybody has a problem, then I will forcefully, like, but he said more force than the punishment of Yama. So definitely there's a kick there, like that. And so then everybody's quiet, you know, except Shishupal, like that, who, he can't be quiet. You know,
but then he lost his head. So.
Yeah, so. Yeah, and then you could play footy with it, right?
Yeah.
No? Oh, well, they say that some say that's how football started, was in Scotland after a battle, and they would kick the heads around for fun.
Yeah, just for fun.
Yeah, yeah. And so then that turned.
As you do.
Yeah, it's in Scotland, of course. Why wouldn't you? You know? That guy, yeah. Then
we could make a sport out of this.
Yes, and then it became, yeah.
Yeah, but whose head are we
going to use? that's why it took a while to catch on in other places.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to be the ball.
2:4:158. Baladev speaks, O Lord, these evil men, lowest members of Kuru dynasty, having attained and given up the qualities of kings, are attached to sitting on the king's throne. How painful it is to have to hear them today in the assembly boldly insulting Achyuta, worthy of praise by the whole universe. Right. Yeah, so as them and themselves and all that, then you see that Balaram is, you know, dealing quite nicely with Duryodhana, because he's a good student. He behaves with him properly as a proper student. Though he's not behaving with others, that's why then he takes that neutral stance. But you see, if he's behaving badly with Krishna or anyone there, then immediately he gets upset. You know, it's like here he's seeing these things in the assembly, or when they came out in that whole, what was it? It wasn't Ushanad Ruda, Samba, and the one where there was a marriage proposal.
Oh.
And then the
Lakshmana.
Okay, so Duryodhana's daughter. And Samba. I think it was Samba.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so then they came out and started insulting the Yadus because they were saying that, you know, we're the, you know, the Kurus, so we're like the, you know, head of society, and you guys are like the shoes. It's kind of like, shoes, okay. So he took his plow and started, he decided he's going to drag Hastinapur and toss it in the Jamuna. So then they, you know, they capitulated and like that.
Just kidding.
Yeah, yeah. No, we were just having fun.
The best shoes, the golden shoes.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, yes.
Better than heads.
Yeah. We carry golden shoes in our heads. Srila Prabhupada. When Shishupal objected to the worship of Krishna in the Rajasuya arena at a sacrifice organized by Maharaj Yudhishthira, Sahadev, the younger brother of Arjuna, said, "A person who cannot tolerate the worship of Krishna is my enemy and is possessed of a demoniac nature. Therefore, I wish to strike my left foot upon his broad head just to punish him more strongly than the wand of Yamaraj." Then Baladev began to lament like this, Oh, all auspiciousness to Lord Krishna. I am so surprised to see that the condemned descendants of the Kuru dynasty, who so unlawfully occupied the throne of the Kuru kingdom, are criticizing Krishna with diplomatic devices. Oh, this is intolerable. This is another instance of eagerness caused by dishonor to Krishna. 2:4, 159-160. Intolerance arising from contempt or insult or other causes is called amarsha, indignation. So this is, the next one. Indignation. In this state, perspiration, shaking the head, change of color, pondering, looking for methods, shouting, turning away, and beating occur. 2:4, 161. Indignation arising from contempt, from Vidagdha Madhava. Jatila said to Krishna, "See, my son's new auspicious bride, endowed with all the sweetness of the earth, is sitting by my side. Oh, unsteady boy, you cannot disturb me, though you wander fearlessly through Braja, moving your eyebrows." Srila Prabhupada. Haughtiness resulting in dishonorable words. In the Vidagdha Madhava, Jatila, the mother-in-law of Radharani, began to criticize Krishna in this way. Quote, "Krishna, you are standing here, and Radharani, who has just been married to my son, is also standing here. Now I know both of you very well, so why should I not be very anxious to protect my daughter-in-law from your dancing eyes?" This is an instance of dishonorable words used to indirectly criticize Krishna. 2:4, 162. Indignation arising from disrespect in the words of Padma. O thief in the Kadamba forest, quickly come here and do not use clever words. There is no greater disrespect for a person like me than directly to spoil excellent Chandravali in the assembly of gopis by uttering the unsuitable name of Radha. So that means then Padma. Oh yeah, Shaibya and Padma. No, Bhadra and Shaibya. So Padma is also in that group. Srila Prabhupada. Similarly, some of the gopis once began to address Krishna with these dishonorable words. "My dear Krishna, you are a first-class thief, so please leave this place immediately. We know you love Chandravali more than us, but there is no use in praising her in our presence. Kindly do not contaminate the name of Radharani in this place." This is another instance of dishonorable words cast upon Krishna in static love. Now, that establishes Padma in Radharani's side. Well, the thing is in here, is that's what we're saying, is that it's just like in the to make it obvious, but it means the words can be used in so many ways. And so then what would be standard ways of using it would be generally how someone is translating would deal, mm-hmm. right, in their context of what they've dealt with. But the difficulty is here when you're working with especially the gopis, because you see as in most of them the translation goes all right, but when we're talking about what the gopis are saying, especially if they're not being direct, it generally doesn't come out as well. You see most difference there. So generally anything to do with the conjugal pastimes, you see the maximum difference in the how it's approached. Because what they're doing there is they generally don't speak things straight. It's always crooked. So because of that, then when you're translating, unless that's understood, you'll generally tend to deal with it in a straight way. yes, when they're actually using it in the other way. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you'll see that now and again, you know, just because of the context. Because generally it's not seen, they're not taking it like this where you're seeing them together. So you'd read one and it sounds, makes sense. You read the other, it makes sense. But how often do you see them together?
Sure.
Yes, yes. 2.4.163. Indignation arising from cheating, indicated by the word adi. Dear Achyuta, you know very well why we have come here. Who but a cheater like you would abandon young women who come to see him in the middle of night, enchanted by the loud song of his fruit, just to see you? We have completely rejected our husbands, children, ancestors, brothers, and other relatives. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.31.16. Srila Prabhupada. There is another statement in the 10th canto of 31st chapter, verse 16 of Srimad Bhagavatam, when all the gopis came out of their homes to meet Krishna in the Vrindavan forest. Krishna refused to accept them and asked them to go home, giving them some moral instruction. At that time, the gopis spoke as follows. Dear Krishna, there is extreme distress in being out of your presence, and there is extreme happiness simply in seeing you. Therefore, we have all left our husbands, relatives, brothers, and friends, and have simply come to you, being captivated by the sound of your transcendental flute. O infallible one, you had better know the reason for our coming here. In plain words, we are here simply because we have been captivated by the sweet sound of your flute. We are all beautiful girls, and you are so foolish that you are rejecting our association. We do not know anyone other than yourself who would miss this opportunity to associate with young girls in the dead of night. This is another instance of indirect insults used against Krishna in ecstatic love. 2.4.164. Hatred arising from another's increase of good fortune or qualities is called asuya, envy or fault finding. Right? Fault finding, asuya. Okay. In this state, malice, disrespect, insult, fault finding, speaking ill of others, casting evil glances, and moving the eyebrows occur. Very thorough. 2.4.165. Envy arising from others' increase of good fortune, from Padyavali. Do not be proud, now that you attain the glory of a new manjari marked with the hand of Krishna on your forehead. No one else can be the recipient of that mark. Others would also have this good fortune if your enemy's hand did not shake. Srila Prabhupada. Envy. In the Padyavali, one of the friends of Radharani once addressed her thus, "My dear friend, please do not be too puffed up because Krishna has decorated your forehead with his own hand. It may be that Krishna is yet attracted by some other beautiful girl. I see that the decoration on your forehead is very nicely made, and so it appears that Krishna was not too disturbed in painting it. Otherwise, he could not have painted such exact lines. This is an instance of envy caused by Radha's good fortune." So it's done so nicely. Instead of thinking, "Oh, he's done so nicely," "Oh, it's so nice" means that you weren't attracting him so much. 2.4.166 from the 10th canto.
We hear that in material world, like everything can be engaged in Krishna service except envy. So when we are reading here, what is the exact difference?
Because you have the words how they're used here, but they have so much more meaning to them in the original Sanskrit. You know, because I mean, this is fault finding, asuya. So it's different from that destructive element. You know, so because the context of this, because they're just showing that envy element. But the context of it can be that there's something else to do to meet Krishna, and she's like so absorbed in this that she's not doing something else, so then you make this comment. So that should be more focused. Or, you know what I'm saying? So the point is, it's always about Krishna's pleasure. So even in this, it's directed towards Krishna and everything. Well, in the material platform, it envy means the destruction of something. Someone else's position or facility or relationship or that. And that destruction, you're happy with that. Well, here it's just, these are all they call it? Centuries. So they're just moving. You know what I'm saying? So it'll come up and go. Well, does that make sense? Well, the material platform, generally you see envious people, they're quite fixed in it. Yeah. Yeah. So.
It's like the attraction is so great that the way to experience it is to constantly find, things getting in the way so you can overcome it and from that arise.
Yes, you do have that. Because the point is that's the point. It's not the non-directness of it. If something is so nice, then it has to be done again, right? If you do something, it's so wonderful, then you want to repeat that. But how do you repeat that unless you start at the beginning again?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So you see, is that the end? So it's all for the purpose of enhancing Krishna's pleasure, because his, let's say, dealing in a certain way, then that's so nice, so that the opportunity for that is done again, because he's happy with that. Because you're dealing on the platform of prema, nothing gets old. So it can be repeated. Well, here you repeat too many times, then you have to, you know, how you say? Read a different book or something, you know. It just gets old. Yeah, you have to have a different... But here, you always have that thing. The variety is there, so you won't have that unlimited variety, but the point is the experience is there. Because here we get the experience in a certain thing, so redoing that, then the experience goes. But in the spiritual world, you can have the variety and the experience stays. So then that means you have to start something over again. So then you criticize Krishna for something or some aspect like that, and to bring it back to a place where it can start again. Doesn't that make sense? Yeah. So that's why obstacles there aren't a problem, because they just give a further reason for the effort, you know, in the interaction with Krishna. So therefore the taste that comes from that is then tasted again. Does that make sense? Yeah. So here in the, because there the goal is Krishna, pleasing Krishna. While here it's attaining some secondary situation. That will be the difference. Means the principle, I mean the mechanics of it are the same, so people can relate to it. You just have to bring it in context of Krishna. So that's why the weakness of just thinking the mechanics are what makes it happen is not the reality. Does that make sense? Yeah. So one always has to appreciate that these things are being done to taste again and again, because Krishna's and the interaction with him is so wonderful that it's being tasted again and again. And, you know, there's always going to be some little difference, because we see is that you slightly adjust. They have another name for it. The santri has a slight little different flavor, though it's the same. We would put it all in one category. Right? But there's differences. And so by that, you know, like people live in it, you know, so it's all houses. But, you know, then there's mansions, there's palaces, there's hovels, there's, you know, there's all kinds of things like that. You know, so you have all these differences. And so they have different flavors. Yeah? Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prema.